broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, good morning. It's a great day. Yes, it's going to be a little muggy. The winds have kind of shut down. We're over at Ko'olina. It's the LPGA Lotte Championship. Winds out of the southwest. Oh, that is out of the southwest. 215. So they're not going to be blowing strong. It's going to be a very interesting day here at Lotte with Suzanne Paterson putting with her eyes closed. Yes, indeed, she's got the lead. Hee Kyung So, Ai Miyazato, Hee Jo Kim, Arya Jutanagarn, Bizet Salas, Stacey Lewis, Jessica Korda, NB Park, all at the top of this fabulous leaderboard. And it's going to be interesting because I have a feeling Stacey Lewis is going to turn it on strong. She's been having a tough time reading these greens. These greens are not easy at Ko'olina. So let's get this show started. But first, we need to thank the people who make it possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Welcome to the Golf Club. We're back now with Craig Kann, the LPGA Communications Officer, after being one of the original on-air personalities on Golf Channel. He was on Golf Central pregame, play-by-play for the PGA Tour, the LPGA nationwide, on-site for stations covering the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, the Masters. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Hey, thanks for having me. That's quite the introduction. I feel like I'm at the Academy Awards.
I just got back from the Masters, and it was my first trip there. You know, you keep talking about it. Did you have that experience your first time?
No doubt. I remember it like it was yesterday. Ben Crenshaw won the Masters. It was 1995, and I also had a chance the day after it ended to play the golf course. They have a media lottery, as you probably know, or found out when you were there. I remember teeing it up the next morning. Had to start on 10, so Amen Corner comes up really quick. Didn't have any range balls. They weren't allowed to hit any range balls, so it was a great experience. Augusta National is one of those places that everybody dreams of going to, and then once you go, you can't believe it's actually as good as it appears in front of your face. At least that's what I remember, and I'll never forget Crenshaw winning and the emotion that came with it back in 95.
Wow, I bet. And you are right. It is absolutely spectacular. It is so much better than on television, and you got to play. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. But the first major of the year is on the LPGA Tour, the Kraft Nabisco. Stacey Lewis comes out. She's number one. Now, somehow, you know, during the Masters, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, Stacey Lewis is not number one. NB Park is number one.
Right.
What did I miss? Okay, I was gone. What happened?
Well, here's what you missed. The way the rankings work, and nobody really can figure out the rankings on the PGA Tour, men's professional golf, or the ladies' side. It's a pretty complicated process, but in the simplest of terms, you know, points jump on and points jump off as far as how they're tabulated. And it's a rolling system over a couple of years' time. And Stacey Lewis won the Kraft Nabisco a few years back, and that gave her a whole lot of points. And this year after the Kraft Nabisco, those points dropped off. So therefore, her reign at number one ended fairly quickly, and she's pretty motivated to get it back. And it's kind of an unfortunate thing, but it is the way the system works. And it's been that way on the men's side for quite a while as well. I can remember being at Golf Channel scratching my head and sitting around with a bunch of guys going, how in the world did this all happen? And, you know, we had a news conference here this week in Hawaii with number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 9 all sitting up on the podium and talked about how this battle for number one has really fallen into our laps on the LPGA Tour. It's a pretty special time for some star players.
Yes, it is. There's something like 0.04 points between the two. Is it that close?
it's very close, and Yanni Sen's right in the middle of it as well, and Nayan Choi's not all that far off. I mean, things can change pretty quickly, and I remember this a couple of years ago. There were a few players in the mix as well at that point for number one on the LPGA. So I think you can look at it a couple of different ways. You could obviously go, boy, the system seems warped. What's going on? How did Stacey Lewis lose it without doing anything? Or you could say, well, they're going to have to play some really good golf if they want to be number one, and the talent level at the top of the world rankings in women's golf, the Rolex rankings, is probably as good as it's ever been. I think these are really bright times for the LPGA right now. Indy Park is a fantastic player, and I think a lot of people saw this coming without maybe knowing as much about Indy or the rest of the tour as they could have or should have. And she and Stacey battled last year for Player of the Year. They battled for titles. They battled for trophies, et cetera. So scoring average was hanging in the balance. There's a lot of talent up there, and Nayan Choi won two big events last year with the Women's Open and the title holders, the two largest paying events on our tour. So it's a pretty good time right now. Everybody's motivated.
It's awesome. How many countries are represented on the LPGA Tour approximately right now?
Well, if you look at the world rankings, just to put it all in perspective, in the top 10 right now, there are seven different countries represented. And that, to me, says a lot about our tour. I mean, you've got Korea, obviously, the United States, Japan, China with Shanshan. You've got Norway with Suzanne Pedersen, Australia with Kari Webb. I mean, it's on and on and on. And the tour right now is global. And 5 years ago, people probably shied away from talking about that. And right now, we're embracing it. We're going to be in the Olympics in a few years' time. And what we really are each week, you know this, we're an Olympic event. I mean, that's what we are. That's what we bring to the table. We are a global country, a global tour that's based in the United States but travels the world. And the best players from around the world want to be a part of the LPGA. That's a big bonus for us. So we're not going to shy away from it. We're going to say that each and every week we've got all these countries represented, and let's go. Let's roll the dice and see who wins.
So is that why we have the slogan on the LPGA, see why it's different out here?
Well, there are a lot of reasons why it's different. You know, that would be one of them for sure. I think there's a big buy-in right now on morale. I think everybody's really fired up about being a part of the tour. Television ratings are up more than 60% over the last couple of years' time on our North American events, which I think says a lot. We're 90% live on the weekends, 100% live scheduled on the weekends, and 90% live on our North American events on television, which is a big change. You know, about 3 or 4 years ago, it was about 40% live, 50%. It was growing, but right now, over 90%. And that's a big positive. More than 300 hours of television coverage for the Golf Channel this year. That's the highest number in the history of the LPGA. So the fact that ratings are up, that's one reason to say why it's different out here. I think the players being from various countries is another way. I think the fact that our players have taken ownership of marketing and public relations. I mean, if you look at our tour and some of the media and different things that we do, these players are willing. As Stacey Lewis said yesterday, I don't think you get number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 9 to sit up at the podium on Wednesday at a PGA Tour event. That's no slap to the PGA Tour, but it does speak to the accessibility of our players, and I think
Absolutely.
That's positive. So you've seen it right in front of you.
Yes, and the pro-ams are unlike anything, I think, on the PGA Tour, because the women just are more, if I don't mind, excuse me, communications officer, we tend to be more communicative. So when we get together in groups, most women will embrace those who are with them, and hopefully, you know, they try to make them have a good time. And that seems...
No question.
That's my experience. You know, everybody I've talked to who's been in a pro-am with someone on the LPGA says, wow, so personable, I felt so comfortable, and that, I think, is a big reason why it's different out here on the LPGA. I got to talk to you about a couple of things that are, you know, aren't well, pace of play. All right, on the LPGA. PGA Tour, really slow, but so is the LPGA, and what's being done about that?
Well, we're definitely on top of it. I mean, I think everybody involved in the game at the highest levels on an executive level is aware of it. I think it sends a poor message to those who are trying to learn the game and be a part of the game that the game is maybe takes too much time. I mean, you don't want that message. Having said that, I think the media has done a pretty darn good job, if I'm going to be honest, about bringing up the topic and putting it out there for people to understand. So when people watch golf coverage these days, they're paying attention to how long it takes somebody in their routine. I think that's a good thing and not a bad thing. You know, you can make the argument that last year at the match play with our situation that happened between Altahara Munoz and Morgan Pressel, that was a bad thing. Both players handled it in an exemplary fashion, and I think we took a lot from that. So there are things being done. We're on it every week. I think one thing that I'd say is pretty positive is if you watch the Kraft Nabisco and put us on the clock, I think we were at an hour 57 for 9 holes on the leaders on the weekend. That was pretty positive, 204 on one day. Those are good numbers, and we finished early one day. So all these things are being taken into account, and it's got to be a positive for golf in general. We cannot play slow.
It is, because even though some people say, well, they have to stretch it out for commercials.
No way.
You know, exactly. Thank you. Because if you stretch it out, it makes it awfully boring to watch on television. You have to have a gazillion cameras all over the course so you can switch it up, go from player to player to player to player. That's a huge, expensive undertaking. And seeing the pace of play pick up is great. One thing that I haven't gotten used to is seeing the caddies lining up the shots for the players on the LPGA Tour.
I'm glad you brought it up. I think it's a really interesting thing that's happened. And I'm going to be honest with you on that. The one thing you'll get from me is an opinion. I've kind of lived my TV career that way as well. I actually had a buddy of mine do it to me a couple weeks ago when I was struggling with my alignment. But having said that, to me, the only good thing right now about it on the LPGA is the fact that our caddy bibs have Twitter handles on them, and people can start cranking up our social media numbers. So, I'll take some credit for that move. We did that strategically to get the awareness out of our social media platform. And by the way, we've doubled Facebook and Twitter over the last year, so we're pretty proud of that. But having said that, I don't think it's a great thing. I'm not a big fan of it. I don't understand why it's so popular on the LPGA. And why we don't see it on the men's tour. If I could change something, it would probably be on my list of top 10 things that I would try to change. I think people want to know what the caddy and the players say. They just don't want to see it happen all the time, and it makes it look like our players can't handle themselves on the golf course. So I think you bring up a good point.
Thank you. I did not want to hear that Stevie Williams read the putt that Adam Scott then won the Masters with. You know, that it's like, but I want to know that the player can read the putt that he wins or she wins, whatever competition they're in. The player.
Well, that's an interesting point, Daniel. I mean, I think that's a real interesting, compelling conversation for people to have. I think sometimes in the media interviews you'll hear afterwards, and guys want to be open and honest. Maybe he phrases it differently and says, I want to thank Stevie Williams for helping me read that putt. You know, together we were able to do it. Obviously, I've got to knock the ball in the hole. He and I were in alignment, or he tweaked me this side or that side, but I still got to trust in myself, and that's something we're doing. And along those lines, I mean, you asked why it's different. The one other thing that I would say is that we work with our players on media training, and that's one thing that I was doing before I got to the LPGA and that I'm now kind of the lead dog, if you will, on is helping our players to make the most of those media opportunities. The thing they'll hear me say all the time is don't come running to me or anybody else begging for media attention unless you know what you're going to say when you get it and unless you've knocked it out of the park the last time you had it. I don't want people saying we deserve a stage unless we've got a great product to put on that stage. So we work on that every day, and then we got to figure out what our message is. And if you don't know what you're going to say, you haven't thought enough about it. And so I'm pretty particular in that regard, and I pay a lot of attention to how we handle our interviews. But we do want our players to be accessible.
Excellent. I'd love to have them on the show, and I'll do interviews like this if it's necessary. I love live. This is perfect. Now, youth on tour, this is another thing that's different about the LPGA. We've got somebody who's about to turn 16. Of course, she's not a professional yet. She's an amateur. How long do you think Lydia Ko will stay amateur?
Well, having sat next to her at a press conference at the Kraft Nabisco Championship, I would go with what she says, that she doesn't have a timetable right now, and she's going to make the best decision when the time comes that she feels comfortable with. She seems very in control, not only of her emotions on the golf course, but in her decision-making and what her plan is. I think there have been enough players out in front of her, if you will, in this staggered race to get the notoriety in professional golf that have made some missteps. And I think patience is important. I'm a father of three, and I know that I would want my daughters to take their time and make the right decision and go out when they're ready. and make sure that when they're out there, they're mature in every way, not just the golf game, but in the way to travel. This is, as you already pointed out, a global tour. We travel the world, and to have a 15, 16, 17-year-old person out there, I don't know that they're ready for all that. So I think Lydia is a shining example, probably, among those who are young, how to handle this.
Yeah, she is so laid back. I love watching her. Aria and Moira Jatanagarn. Moira is an LPGA member. Is Aria old enough yet? She's on the LET. Would she be accepted on the LPGA?
Well, here's the thing. Those two players are both fantastic players. The commissioner, it is his discretion as to who can get out there before they are of qualified age to play on our tour. So that's for Mike Wan to decide. They're both very talented. I think the big issue here is if you look at the game, you're talking about young talent all over the place. If I have a concern, it's not about the talent level of the players or when they're going to be ready. It's probably a little bigger than that. I think we need to look at the women's college golf system, and I think we need to look at why these players are, look, it's great to be great at 14, but if they're able to compete at this level, then maybe our college system isn't preparing players enough to be ready to make an impact when they get to the next level. Maybe there aren't enough high school players that get to college that are truly ready. You know, their Title IX's given women so many great opportunities in collegiate sports. And I think it probably is like anything else. Somebody owes it to those players to train them properly. We have to look at the American system or the college system. Is it doing the right job to prepare everybody to come out here, not just make our tour, but can they make a difference on our tour? And
yes.
I think that's the big issue.
And you brought it up. You did that very delicately. You didn't say the U.S. is not preparing the players, the American players. And I think the Annika Award for top collegiate women will make a big difference. You know,
great.
And that it was a big move, and I really appreciate her doing that. The other question I have for you is, do you think Michelle Wee wishes she was shorter? You know,
I don't think so, because I think she could be a runway model if she ever decided to quit playing professional golf. I mean,
no doubt. Yes.
You know her. I mean, she's one of your very own, and I've spent quite a bit of time with her since I took this job. She is on my player communications committee, of which we have 8 players that take part. I'm really proud of that. That's another reason it's different out here. They take ownership in what we do. They tell me, hey, I like that idea, Craig, let's go with it. Hey, Craig, let's tweak that idea. It's pretty decent. Or, Craig, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. I'm good with all 3 of those things. That's all fine by me. Michelle shares more information than most anybody on the committee. And Stacey Lewis is on the committee, too, and she shares a whole lot. Michelle could easily say, guess what, everybody? Take a hike. I'm going to work on my game. I got to get this back. I'm so tired of the scrutiny over my swing, my putting, my stance, my parents, my this, my that. But you know what? She's heavily involved, and I really appreciate her for all of that. I am a big, big fan of Michelle Wee, the person, and I wish that people could focus on one thing that doesn't get talked about enough, which if you take everything away, ask yourself if her parents have done a good job of being parents and creating a good child and role model, because I think Michelle is a very good person. And that's the thing that should stand out. I hope she gets there, because she's a needle mover.
Excellent. I'm so glad you said that. You know, and she will get there in her time. And that's, you know, that is what it is. Now, this year, the Mid-Pacific Open, it's the Mid-Pac Open, is the same weekend as the LPGA Lotte. Now, I had to choose between a 15-year on-location at Mid-Pac commitment or support the ladies coming out, of course, to the islands. And I'm here at Lotte, because, you know, hey, and the Mid-Pac Country Club GM, Tim Dietrich, has one girl, a junior golfer. She's playing with the men today, a Brittany fan, and congratulations to all the hard work that she's done putting into her. She'll probably be out trying to qualify the next time. Is Lotte going to stay after the Masters from now on, and are they going to make a commitment for a long-term engagement here?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, so I'll be honest with you on that. I feel like the biggest thing the LPGA does is put customers first. Lotte's been a fantastic partner for the LPGA in a very short time. It would be tough to argue that it wasn't the most successful first-year event we've had in a long time. The LPGA loves coming to Hawaii. Lotte is an Asian brand that wants a foothold in the United States. There are a lot of American brands that would like a foothold in Asia. So I think it's pretty awesome that Lotte has partnered with the LPGA to create this event. Where it will be on the schedule long term, you know, that seems to change year to year on the LPGA. We're trying to find the right balance. Mike Wan has been pretty outspoken in saying he likes the 3 weeks on, 1 week off, or the 4 weeks on, 1 week off. That's what the players seem to like. I don't think we ever want a tour schedule that has 40 events or 45 events, because I think the positive thing, another reason we're different, is you're going to get strength of field each and every week. Nobody's talking about who's not there when the LPGA rolls into town. All of our stars are there, and that's pretty important. But look, they've got a 3-year deal, so this is year two. And we'll look forward to next year. What works for the schedule will be what works for Lotte and the LPGA in those discussions, and basically what works for all of the events that are all in our lap. So we try to make the best schedule that works for everybody.
Well, we love it because we're in prime time on the East Coast.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
And
13 hours plus this week, which is fantastic.
It is fantastic, as long as the weather holds. It's so weird when the VOG comes in. And that's what you see, by the way, on TV is VOG from the volcano. Beautiful to see, but in addition to the lava flow comes the particulates, and that's what comes with the south wind, and we can't control the weather.
Guy Hagee, who I played the pro-am this week. And by the way, you're in next year if you want to play. That's one other reason we're different. We try to allow some of the local media and celebrities. DK Steakhouse, played with him as well. There's a lot of great things about our pro-ams, as you mentioned, and our players' accessibility. But Guy was a lot of fun. It was like traveling with Bon Jovi, as many pictures as he had taken. It was pretty cool. And as I told him, there aren't too many professions where you can get paid a whole lot to be wrong quite often. He's a really good guy, and you know, trade wins, Kona wins, all that stuff. Everything gets talked about when you roll onto the island.
Excellent. Well, you said that, right? You said I'm in on the Pro-Am next year?
You're in.
Okay.
You'll play with me, or you'll play with somebody off my staff, and we'll make it happen. It's one of our big initiatives, is to try to generate some of that local feel and local flavor. Let more people come touch our product and walk away as Paul Revere, as I like to say, because that's really important for people to not only be able to say why it's different, but be able to tell people why it's different.
Excellent. And you're heard on this show worldwide because we're streaming live online at radiogolfclub.com. It's in the UK. It's in Thailand. We are worldwide. Craig Kann, LPGA Communications Officer, thanks so much for being on the show today.
It is absolutely my pleasure. All credit to you. You are a wonderful ambassador for the game. I love your questions. I love your honesty, and I love your opinion. So thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The 2014 Acura RLX and Acura RLX Advance go test drive this car at Acura of Honolulu. They're on Ala Moana Boulevard, 777 Ala Moana. I've driven the best cars in the world. I want a tight turning radius. Well, you'll get that in the Acura RLX, I found out. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride on Ala Moana or any of Oahu's streets. And you'll get that in the Acura RLX. It's so good on the nerves. But don't take my word for it. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX for yourself and call them for an overnight test drive. That's right, an overnight
test drive. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu, because your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Then meet TJ and the RL expert. There's so much to Acura's RLX, where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. You will like this car. So much room in the back. Take it home. That's right. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. Acura of Honolulu. They'll wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or the Acura RLX Advance home. That number, 808-942-4555. 942-4555. His name is TJ. The car, the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
At the LPGA Lotte Championship, Suzanne Pedersen is in the lead. Hee-kyung So, Ai Miyazato chasing, and it's so close. This is a great leaderboard. Michelle Wee tees off at 8:35 this morning. We're going to go out to the Mid-Pacific Open because something really special happened. You know, Mid-Pac Open started its tradition by combining the Lanikai Cup, which was held for amateurs, and the Campos Trophy for local golf professionals into one prestigious event. It was the inaugural Mid-Pac Open in 1956, crowning Guinea Cop the first tournament champion. Now, over the years, Jerry Barber set a tournament course record, 14 under. That record stood for 18 years until the up-and-coming golf professional David Ishii posted a 72-hole gross record of 271, shattering that record by 3 strokes. It held, well, at the website, Mid-Pac's website, it says it held until it stands still today. No, it took 5 hours. TJ Kua. Guess who TJ Kua is? David Ishii's nephew. Welcome to the show, TJ.
Hi, Danielle.
I am so jazzed for you. What's it like busting your uncle's record?
It's nice. I still respect him a lot. He's always been somebody I look up to. So it's nice to be announced in the same breath as him.
You know, at 62, it was windy yesterday. What was going on in your mind when you shot that 62?
Not too much. The wind is like home for me. As Kauai golfers, we love the wind. So we'll take it. But, yeah, things just went my way. That's just the only way you can say 62 doesn't happen without luck.
Were you out of your mind? Was your mind turned off? I mean, how does somebody go around Mid-Pac Country Club, a very difficult course, one, by the way, that President Obama likes to play when he's here? And I hear the rough is really rough. How did you keep it?
The rough is really rough, but it's very fair because the greens are fairly soft and not as dangerous as they used to be. But, I felt like I threw so many shots away the first round that I felt like I was fighting all day trying to get back into contention. So even after getting like 4 or 5 under in my head, I was still even par, and I just kept pushing. And in the end, we just came out with that number.
That's great. Now I got to ask you a question, because I know that there was a time when you were wondering whether or not your game was going to come back. You are a champion of champions. And for a while, did you lose your game?
Yeah, it happened quite often. I mean, we fight between tournaments trying to keep it going for a couple months. And then sometimes your mind just goes away and it's just not all there. Sometimes your body just doesn't want to agree with you. And you just got to stick it out until it comes back.
As somebody said, I think, and I was checking, you know, it's like getting on a bike. But if you step away from the game for a while and then come back, does that stepping away help you get back on the bike and ride?
It can be good. I won't lie, breaks can be good. When I take breaks, I won't even watch golf. I won't listen to golf or anything. And then eventually I'll just have to turn the golf channel just to see golf. And then you start getting that bug again. And it lights that fire again. It makes things a whole lot easier to work on.
Yeah, that's interesting because Hee Kyung Kim said she watched the Masters. And as she was watching in the playoff, Adam Scott, they weren't playing slowly. They were walking right up to it, and then she got, that helped her. Watching television sometimes helps, and it gives you the bug back. You get excited. I mean, watching the Masters must have been exciting for you, too.
Yeah, the Masters is always exciting. One of my favorite tournaments to watch.
Yeah. What did you walk away with when you watched Adam Scott win?
Oh, well, I actually didn't see the final round. I was out counting at the World Day qualifier for a friend of mine.
Oh.
So we were hearing the screams from the restaurant all the way about 16th hole. So it was kind of crazy.
But you were, who were you caddying for here?
For Tammy Surtees from the Big Island.
Yeah, she's good.
Yeah.
A lot of our, yeah, really good, really good. So you went to UH Manoa, and now you're playing at 62 at the Mid-Pac Open. Congratulations. I'm just really stoked. I'd love to have you on the show, talk about what your plans are as a professional golfer. But in the meantime, I got to let you go because I know that you're about to go and play, right?
Yep. I got about an hour and 50 minutes of lanky time.
What do you do? Just give guys an idea when you're getting ready for the round today. How do you prep for it?
I just mainly get loose. I like to think that I know my swing, whether I work on it on the round before, morning before the round or not. I just want to make sure my body's loose and I can go out there and just do what I want. So I'll only hit maybe 20 balls, 25 balls to get warm, and that's it.
Okay, so you're not going to, you know, beat balls. You're just going to mainly make sure that you've stretched out and your body is ready for the experience.
Yeah. I'm trying not to worry about my swing warming up for a tournament.
Yeah, it sounds like really good advice to me. TJ, thanks so much for being on the show. Congratulations on that 62. That is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure. All right, talking with TJ Kua, he broke the 24-year course record set by George Meyer back in February of 89 when he shot the 62. 32 on the front nine, a 30 on the back nine. Very, very windy conditions. And as TJ said, hey, he's used to it on Kauai, where they have a lot of bunkers, by the way. And in Hilo, if you play in Hilo, which is on the Big Island, they have very few bunkers. And that's because, well, it rains so much in Hilo that the bunkers get washed out. So they don't really bother putting them in much at the Hilo Muni, where a lot of great golfers come out of. But on Kauai, they've got lots of bunkers, and that's why so many of the Kauai golfers come out, and they're really good. Seems strange to me, since it rains a lot on Kauai as well, that the bunkers hold up so well. In the senior pro division, local favorite Casey Nakama is tied with Alaska native Billy Bomar. They're at 149. The two professionals will use their round three score as the tiebreaker, and if they still are tied, they have to play off and continue to round four. Really exciting. Punahou Kalena Prius is leading this championship flight just two strokes ahead of his teammate Kyle Supa and Moanalua's John Oda, and Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer Brandon Kopp, who is, oh, I don't know, out of high school for a long time. he's hanging strong with the high school boys in that championship flight at 146. And after missing last year's tournament, Doug Banks, he's from Oregon, he won the senior AM title with a 153. He beat Mike Kawate by one stroke. In the A flight, David Long is three strokes ahead of Glenn Kakuni. In B flight, Wendell Kopp, 162, Derek Fukuda, and Tommy Yamada at 165. So, Wendell Kopp, Brandon Kopp, yes, family. And the tee times starting, they're already underway. They're going off on the 1st and the 10th, with the leaders teeing off at about 8:47 this morning. So that's over at Lanikai's Mid-Pac Country Club. We are, of course, at the LPGA Lotte Championship on the other side of Oahu. The winds are out of the southwest today, and the fog is coming back. They were expecting it, so we're going to have some interesting, completely different game plan than yesterday. It's going to be kind of like Wednesday's play here to when the Lotte first started. Now, we also have someone on the phone. I think it's Gary Picaro to talk about the conditions over at Midpack. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Good morning. This is Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Now, tell me, what have they done over there at every time we have a tournament at Mid-Pacific Country Club, it's tough. The conditions are tough because the superintendent of golf makes them that way. And I was just talking to TJ, and he said, well, you know, the rough wasn't that bad. I'm like, uh-oh.
Actually, the rough is, it's the rough. It's mid-back as it is. And then the wind has been up, but today the wind is down. And that was the first comment that TJ made, that the wind is down and things could change. But yeah, the rough is probably a little longer than normal because of the rain. And the greens are normal, quick and soft, but still very fast.
Oh, yeah. Jason Amoy is good at that. He was the superintendent over at YLI Country Club. So he knows about prepping for a tournament. He used to prep the Sony Open, you know, for the Sony Open. So he's not shy about making the tournament conditions really tough. And when DJ said, well, it wasn't that bad, I thought, uh-oh, Jason's going to go out there and do something to make sure that, you know, he doesn't want to have one of those reputations. He's got a great reputation of making things hard. Are you playing, Gary?
No, I'm not. But not this time around. I'm out here rounding up people for the media. Like, I got Mike here. Mike is you know Mike, our tournament chair, who's been our tournament chair since Midpack Open began. But he's definitely done the work of keeping us all in track, and it's running smooth, and with Mike and with Wesley Wailahua.
Wesley Wailahua is the executive director of the Aloha Section PGA.
Exactly.
He is amazing.
He's the bomb.
Just tell him that for me, okay? The work that he does is amazing. The guy never gets tired, and I really, really appreciate the fact that he does what he does for the Aloha Section, for the PGA professionals in Hawaii, and for all of the tournaments that are happening in the islands. And of course, this is the second major in the island. We had the Pearl Open first, then comes the Mid-Pack Open, and it's really exciting. The Lanikai Cup started out. Then we had the Campos Trophy, the Lanikai for amateurs, and the Campos Trophy for the local golf professionals, and then putting it all together, Midpack Country Club hosting it since 1956. Is Mike there?
He is right here. Can I have him say a few words?
Why don't you put him on the phone?
I will.
Thank you.
Hello, Danielle.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Good.
You know, everybody's telling me that the course is, like, not that hard. I don't believe it. I don't think Jason would do a mid-pack open without it being pretty tough.
Well, the greens are a little soft because of the rain, but the green speeds are not bad. They're about 11 right now. We thought it would increase over the weekend, but with the rain, it probably may not. So,
Is it raining on your side?
It's been raining almost every day. I mean, drizzling, not real hard, but it has been, keeping the green soft.
Who are watching Golf Channel would not understand what you're saying because they've been watching the LPGA Lotte right at Ko'olina, where it's like blazing hot and there is no rain. And now we have the winds out of the southwest and the Kona conditions are starting again with the fog coming in. Do you think that's going to dry out those greens?
It doesn't look like it, but it may some. We just have to wait and see. You know, the weather's the weather, Danielle, and nothing we can do about it. The rough is getting longer and longer, though. In some areas, it's like 6 inches, and it's very difficult to find your ball, much less hit the damn thing.
You've got to be strong to get out of 6-inch rough.
Yes. So keep it in the fairway, keep it on a short lane, and maybe you can score.
Yeah, this is awesome. It's been really great talking with you. Mid-Pac Open is such a great venue, and I was talking to communications director of the LPGA Lotte Championship, and I'm kind of hoping that it goes Masters, Lotte, and Mid-Pac next year. And that way, there's I can be back home again.
Yeah, well, it may be because we're looking at not conflicting with Easter Sunday, which is the Sunday after the Masters.
Next year.
Yeah.
Next year. Okay. All right. Mike, thanks so much for being on the show. Really appreciate your time and all the work that you and the volunteers, the rules officials, all the people behind the scenes who make this event, the Mid-Pac Open, so special. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you. And we'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911, 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. We're at the LPGA Lotte Championship, and you know I can't stop talking about it. I've just got back from the Masters. Actually, I got back last week, Saturday. Was it Friday? I don't know. It's all one. Now, of course, we're at the Lotte. We're having a great time. But there were some things that we talked about last week, Saturday, that turned out to be not the case. And it all has to do with rules. And I want to, you know, Tiger Woods hit this beautiful shot, too beautiful. Then he hit the flag stick, and instead of it dropping nice and neatly down into the hole and everything being, you know, hunky-dory, no, it had to roll off into the pond. And that's where Rule 26-1, 20-7, 20-2B, 33-7, 34-3, for the casual golfer, the person who is almost intimidated by getting into the game of golf because of all of these different rules, that would just scare the pants out of you, wouldn't it? Do you have to know all of this to be able to play the game? Bob Herrig is joining us, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. He's covered golf for more than 20 years. He's a heck of a golfer, too, and don't let him tell you otherwise. He had to be. He earned an Evans Scholarship to attend Indiana University. The senior writer for ESPN.com. Welcome to the show, Bob Herrig.
Hey, thank you very much. Glad to do it.
Absolutely. A pleasure having you. I talked a little bit with you through email, but I was impressed with your article that you wrote about maybe it's time to take a look at the rules, you know? And that's really what I wanted to talk to you about. But before that, you know, as you help us wrap up the Masters, and I call it Dropgate, the LPGA top players are vying for the number one position. You know, there's Stacey Lewis, who was number one. Then all of a sudden, Inbee Park is number one. And I had to have communications director Craig Kahn explain to me what happened because I was at the Masters, and I couldn't understand how all of a sudden Lewis, who was hailed as number one while I was at the Masters, was all of a sudden not number one the week later. And there are lots of great storylines on the LPGA. This brand is really strengthening. What piques your interest?
Well, I'm sort of interested in how Yanni Tseng lost it. You know, she was so dominant there for a long time, and then all of a sudden it seemed to all sort of crash in around her. She, you know, she admitted that she was somewhat bothered by all the attention and the pressure of being number one, and You know, that's interesting dynamic, I guess. And now, you know, can she get back to that? Can having fallen off of that pedestal help her, you know, maybe refocus and play that great golf again? And obviously, it's nice to have an American player in the mix again, which we haven't had for a long time. I think that helps the sport as well.
Absolutely. I was talking with TJ Kua. The Mid-Pac Open's been going on here since 1956. He beat David Ishii, who's his uncle's record. He shot a one-day score of 62. Now, TJ had gone through a period of being very, very good and then just kind of lost his game. And he had to completely step away from the game, just not play the game, put those golf clubs away. And he said, I said, well, what brought it back for you? And he goes, well, watching television, I kind of sparked a little bit of something, you know. It slowly came back, and then he just got on the golf course, and then he let his body take over. But when you're a professional golfer, and this is your living, and you're in the spotlight like Yanni Sen is, or anybody who's at the top, you just can't put your sticks in the closet and say, hey, I'm going to go take a vacation, right?
Yeah, there's something to be said for appreciating how hard it is to be number one or how hard it is to be on top. In the men's game, I really kind of think we took Tiger for granted. It's just not that easy to maintain that level, especially in a sport where there's inherently going to be dips. You know, you lose your game from time to time, maybe not completely, but you have aspects that aren't working as well, and it makes it harder to play well. And that happens to everybody. You know, you see it with Rory McIlroy right now. You know, he's just gone through a little dip. It happens. And to stay on top for that long of a time is not easy, and the pressures can get to you, and that's what we're seeing.
You know, what you said about Tiger Woods spoiling us, or did I just infer that from because it was in my own brain? I think he spoiled all of us into thinking that somehow once you're at the top of your game, you're just going to keep it forever and ever and ever, and it's never going to go away. And when he started getting his game back, now we expect him to be always winning and winning and winning. And if he doesn't, then we say, it's over. We're like, you know, we're so demanding. We're so the expectations we have. But let's go to the article you wrote, which you brought up something you said. You said that, how did you phrase it? The people who are, you know, really invested in this game, the people who take it very, very seriously will probably cringe at what you are about to write. You said something about maybe it's time for the players not to keep each other's score. And in this day of electronic scorekeeping, why are they using pens? Maybe that would speed up the pace of play. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Not making the players keep score?
Well, sure. The Tiger thing a week ago today at the Masters, I mean, ultimately what has everybody all in a lather is the fact that he wasn't disqualified. Well, the actual infraction itself, the poor drop, the improper drop, the illegal drop, that in and of itself does not get you disqualified. It's a two-shot penalty. What gets you disqualified is the clerical things that go on in golf. You have to sign your scorecard, but if the strokes get added after the fact, that's considered an incorrect scorecard. And if you sign for a lower score, you get disqualified. And I just find that to be archaic in this day and age. I know the scorecard is sacred, but everybody saw how many swings he took, how many strokes he took. Nobody at the time thought there was anything wrong with the drop he took. In fact, the Masters rules people received a call about it, and in their own minds, they decided it wasn't an illegal drop. They let it go, then changed their minds after he signed the scorecard. Why does the scorecard determine whether or not you are disqualified or not? That's sort of my issue. You know, so there's a couple of ways you can go at this. You could either not have players keep their scorecard in that manner and not have it matter, or you could do things like at the end of a day's play, everything's official, you can't go back. Or another way is to keep the scorecard open throughout the four rounds, three rounds if they're playing 54 holes. In other words, you know, he comes in, he verifies his score, but he doesn't go through the technical aspect of signing it. In other words, if something comes up later, you can add the strokes. I mean, that's essentially what the Masters did, and yet there's an outcry about it because he had signed, you know, it's very unusual that they did this. So, yeah, you know, I just think it's, as you were mentioning, you were rattling off all the different rules. How is a casual observer supposed to follow this? You know, the people who tuned in last Saturday and tried to get their arms around what happened to Tiger, you just can't do it. It's so complicated. Even rules gurus are having a hard time with it. And is that really what we want?
Exactly. That's the thing. We're going, huh? And how ridiculous, it starts sounding ridiculous to the casual golfer, the casual viewer. Why would I want to follow the rules of golf the way they want me to if it's this complicated and this penal? And the thing that blows my mind is the guy signs a scorecard, which is correct. This was his score. After the fact, they say, you're going to be penalized 2 strokes. So they're going to add those 2 strokes and then tell you that you just signed an incorrect scorecard because you didn't add the 2 that you got penalized. What? You know, I didn't know I was being penalized. I did something that I didn't even know I'd done. And right. And that's the part that I find the most difficult to digest, and I think a lot of people do. So I'm with you. I don't care.
In the rules junkie's defense, ignorance is not a defense. So if you don't know that you broke a rule, you know, you can't go back and say that. The difference in this case, though, was that the Masters people thought he might have broken a rule, and they declined to talk to him about it. Had they brought it up before he signed his card, he could have looked at it and said, yeah, you're right. I did take a bad drop and added the strokes. They had information that they didn't give him. Typically, you know, that this whole scenario that we're talking about here, the whole I didn't know, you know, in the rules of golf, it's not a defense. Ignorance doesn't matter. But I still say, you know, why is the actual signing of the card, you know, the line in the sand? You know, if you figured out that you made a mistake before you sign your card, you're okay. You get the strokes added. But if it comes up after you sign your card, which, by the way, you have to sign your card before you leave the scoring area. If you don't, you're disqualified. So, I mean, it's all about this signing of the card. And I don't know if you saw that I made mention of something that happened 10 years ago at the British Open. You know, Jasper Parnevik and Mark Rowe, they wrote their scores on the wrong card. The scores were correct, but they were just on the card with the wrong name. They didn't exchange their cards properly. So they were actually writing the other player's score on their own card. And it was clearly a mistake of, you know, a clerical mistake, but they both got disqualified. I mean, it's silly to me that it comes to that in the professional game.
And I totally understand what you mean by ignorance of the rule is not a defense. And in law, that's the case as well. And, of course, in golf, it's definitely the case. But I got to ask you this. After it was all said and done, after it was determined that he was not going to be disqualified, that the Masters officials had taken a look at it and had decided that he did not take an incorrect drop, but because he said in the news conference afterwards to the media, oh, by the way, I went a little bit further backwards, and then they realized, well, he didn't get to where he was supposed to have taken the drop, so they had to re-review it again, but they decided they weren't going to, okay, they were not going to disqualify him. They were going to let it stand. People still said, Tiger Woods, you should withdraw. My question to you, Bob Herrig, ESPN.com, let's say Tiger Woods does what the popular demand is, that he withdraw, despite what the Masters officiating staff says that he can play on, would that have been construed as disrespectful of him? Could he have been nailed in the media for being disrespectful?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, there were a lot of those cries for him to withdraw. And, you know, frankly, he would have gotten some kudos for it because people are hung up on this scorecard thing. You know, this is a very, very rare ruling that was made. But also you could look at it as like, oh, well, look, I'm going to quit and go home. You know, I got a 2-stroke penalty, and I don't, you know, I don't see how quitting it looks good. I don't see how that is a good answer to this. The rules committee, they're final. They made the determination that they made the mistake. And ultimately, he still got penalized the 2 strokes that he would have gotten if he would have known about it on Friday. I don't understand why that's so bad. Let's be honest, 2 strokes, it killed him. You know, I mean, it really made it very, very difficult for him to come back in the tournament. He was, instead of being 3 back, he was 5. And, you know, he never made up that ground. It was a very, very penal, you know, thing that occurred to him there. Also, for something that it's not exactly clear if he really did drop too far away. There's some...
The pictures, right? The pictures.
Sure, there's some conflicting reports that he dropped close enough to the original spot. And the rules are very vague on that. What is nearest possible? It doesn't say. It doesn't say in terms of club length or inches or feet. And what he said afterward, 2 yards, I mean, that's what ultimately harmed him. But was it really 2 yards? Did he know? I mean, he stepped back a little bit. Was it within the range? You can't drop closer to the hole. You don't want to drop it in the divot. You know, so I don't know. The whole thing is, it's amazing the life this has. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with who it happened to. You know,
it's Tiger Woods.
As I wrote, if you took the name out of it, I think if you took the name out of it and the same exact scenario happened to anybody else, the Masters would have been applauded for doing the right thing. It just seems unfair that you don't bring a possible violation to the player's attention. In essence, you are saying it's okay. Let him sign his card and then, oh, change your mind later. And then you're going to get disqualified for that? I think if that had happened to Adam Scott or Brant Snedeker, we'd have been applauding them. But because Tiger's involved and he's very polarizing, you know, it takes on a different connotation.
Bob Herrick, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, thanks so much for being on the show. It's great to meet you. It was great to see you at the Masters, and I hope you'll be back on the show sometime.
Glad to. Thanks very much.
Thank you. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
To demonstrate the nimble driving characteristics of this new Acura RDX, we're recording this radio commercial from inside the cabin while being driven by a professional stunt driver. All right, let me open the window here. Listen to the power of the RDX's new V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Now you're experiencing the agility of this deceivingly big crossover. Let's not forget the RDX is also equipped with standard moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. And it has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, hang on. I really can't get any sound out of these seats. See your Acura dealer for exceptional offers and test drive the new RDX today.
See your Hawaii Acura dealer in Honolulu and Kahului, Maui for the season's best offers on the 2013 Acura RDX. Choosing an Acura just makes sense.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, Kalaheo. And joining us now, Jerry Foltz. He is the Golf Channel on-course reporter. You saw him because, of course, you watch Golf Channel. It's on, you know, in prime time. And you watch Morning Drive. And you've seen Jerry on Morning Drive. And you see him on course doing play-by-play. He's also a great golfer, by the way, a professional golfer since 1985.
One, and he's going to argue with me right now, but we don't have his microphone on, so he can't.
That just makes me old, Danielle. Professional golfer since 85.
You're too young to be. Yeah, this is somebody else. I've got the wrong folks. It must be your dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It was your dad. Okay, so here we are at the LPGA Lotte Championship. Craig Kahn was on the show a little bit earlier. We talked about something that really bothers me in this game, lining up, caddies lining up the players. That, I can't get used to that. I think it slows up the pace of play, and he frankly said that he kind of agrees.
Yeah, I think even the players who have their caddies line them up will tell you the same thing. They would like to see that not be allowed, even the ones who do it themselves. And I've made the point on the air, and so has Judy Rankin many times. I've never once seen a caddy say, "No, you're lined up crooked, start over." They don't. They just say, "Yeah, it looks great." So it's just a crutch. It's a security blanket. And I think once the banning of the anchored putter gets enacted and that all dies down and everybody forgets about the whole hubbub around that, I think the USGA and the RNA, the next tackle they're going to make is slow play and eventually perhaps try and go after the golf ball and roll it back a little bit. That'll be the hardest fight of them all, but I think they're going to enact new conditions of competition, not actual rules, but conditions of competition to speed up play, for at least for the people playing competitive golf on TV, because it just sets a horrible precedent to those at home watching.
Plus, it's boring. It's boring watching slow play.
It is boring watching slow play. More in person, though, on TV, a lot of times, if you're watching players play slowly, that means that the TV people aren't really doing their job properly. There's golf going on the golf course somewhere. There's plenty of golf. You don't have to watch Tiger Woods stand on the tee for 5 minutes.
No.
You can actually go and see other guys hitting shots.
It takes all the cameras. It's an expensive proposition.
It's a harmony. It's a kind of a whole orchestra of people's efforts coming together. It's really tough to televise well. But Golf Channel does it well. The networks
both do
it very well,
yes.
Also, and talented people doing it. But yeah, it takes resources, but they're there.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the stuff that comes over on the barges to make this whole LPGA Lotte Championship look so great. And you look fabulous. Is orange the new color?
No, it's just a T-shirt I bought at the ABC store.
By the way, there's an ABC store in every corner. Have you been into Waikiki? Like,
oh, yeah. No, there's two on every corner. They're amazing.
Right across from each other.
And they have the market cornered on convenience stores in Hawaii, and nothing is cheap, so somebody's making a whole lot of money.
Yeah, they're making a lot of money. Well, the reason I ask about orange is because Suzanne Paterson is wearing kind of an orange yesterday,
yeah.
And Michelle Wee was wearing kind of an orange yesterday. I'm like, I'm totally out of it.
Well, orange and yellow are the new big colors this year, it seems like, in both men's and women's golf. And I think, well, a lot of players have the Adidas contract or the Ashworth contract for their clothing. Those are the two most active out there, both owned by the same company. And that's two of their big colors this year.
Okay, but Steve, isn't Suzanne Paterson and Michelle Wee, aren't they Nike players?
Oh, they are. You're right.
So
we'll see. Nike set the precedent. Ashworth and everybody else followed suit. Maybe there's just one company somewhere overseas that's making all the shirts, and they say, here's the colors you're getting this year.
This is the dye we're making.
Yeah.
We're throwing everything in there. All right. Let's start off at the top of the leaderboard. And something that Suzanne Paterson said, she's putting like she did in 07 with her eyes closed.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What's up with that?
Well, when you think about it, and it's a great drill. A lot of people do as a drill if they're having trouble putting, if there's a lot of anxiety in their stroke, and it completely eliminates the anxiety of impact of the ball. Some people practice putting when they're going through troubles. They practice looking at the hole, like you look at the rim when you're shooting a free throw. And it also makes sense, and closing your eyes does the same thing. It takes out that anxiety, any chance of a little twitch right at impact, which so many people can relate to. You just stroke it. It's not a bad way to do it at all. It's not like your eyes are really doing anything for you. If you're that trained as an athlete, your eyes, they're not hitting the ball. They're just telling you where it's at, and you already know that. And you're so trained muscle memory-wise. I think it's a great idea. And she's putting better than she has before, and she's getting the putts to the hole on these greens, which are relatively slow by LPGA standards. They need to be because we're in Hawaii, and the wind can blow 200 miles an hour. But she's getting the putts to the hole.
She also said something that I thought was great. Isn't Suzanne a little bit hard on herself?
Oh, yeah. Very difficult on herself.
So, and she said, I think she's kind of like a person who likes to be in control. And what she does is, by closing her eyes, she kind of takes that element of trying to be in control of something out of the equation.
That makes sense, too. Never thought of it in that light. But, yeah, absolutely, that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, and so all of a sudden you're kind of trusting. And if you start trusting, that's one thing I'm writing about at the Masters. It just blew my mind. So many places on that course, you have to simply trust. You have to give up that need to see and control and to be. You just have to trust. And that's something really hard for somebody who is an A-type personality, right, who wants to be in control, to dominate. And she's that kind of a person. I always see her as the athlete who could really be. I mean, she talked about her shoes. She's wearing the female version of Tiger Woods' shoes. It's from Nike, this new strange-looking shoe.
Yeah.
But she called it the female. She's like a tiger in her stature and her athletic way about her. She's just really, really, really strong.
Yeah.
And it must be interesting for her to have someone who's not tall and athletic like she is come along and beat her.
Yeah, well, when you look at her from a just an athletic standpoint, she obviously is one of the most athletic, if not the most athletic, whatever that broad definition of athletic is. She's mm-hmm. the most fit. She works out the hardest. She's got all the physical skills you need to be a superpower, if you will, a dominant player on the LPGA. And the one missing ingredient through the years has been consistent putting. And she's very difficult on herself, very hard on herself. But so are the greats, all the greats. Some of them don't wear it on their sleeve like she does, which I find quite entertaining at times. But some of them don't wear it on their sleeves.
Something really wrong about what you just said.
No, I think she's fantastic to watch. You know, because the way she reacts to bad shots is the way the guys at home react to bad shots when they're playing with their buddies. They don't smile and say, "Oh shucks." They get ticked off and throw a few words out there. And she wears her emotions and her temper on her sleeve. And I like it. I don't know if it's bad TV at all. I think the people can relate to that, because she's more like them than the ones who kind of put on a facade for the cameras and for the fans. That's why John Daly's so popular, because people can relate to him. He's got the same problems and issues they have. I mean, he's walked off the course before after making an eight. How many guys at home haven't wanted to do that?
Or have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, is he Kyung So? Is she the supermodel? What is her nickname?
The supermodel of the fairways over on the KLPGA.
Yeah. And she's... I was watching her. She's really steady. What's it about Ko'olina, this golf course that's so comfortable for her?
Well, I think most of the players, especially Ai Miyazato, most of the players from Asia play on a very a strong grain of grass, Bermuda grass, typically on the greens that are a little tougher for those who grew up in the continental United States to putt, because even though there's grain in Florida and there's grain throughout the Southeast, it's not seaside grain that you see in Hawaii. It's strong grain, but it's nothing like you see in Hawaii, nothing like you see in Asia. And I think the greens are the biggest part of it. And especially for Ai, she grew up in Japan, where the wind every day. She grew up right on the ocean in Japan, where it's windy every day, just like it is here. And she's very comfortable in that. And I think perhaps in parts of Asia, they are a lot closer to the water than where some of the U.S.-born players or even continental Europe-born players play. Now, the grass here on these greens is probably the best, I think, is the putting surface is going to be in 15, 20 years, going to be almost on every course where you can't grow bent grass.
Past Palom.
It doesn't really have grain. It kind of grows in every direction. And when maintained properly, and not really expensive to maintain, when maintained properly, they can get rid of almost all the grain. It becomes pretty much an ideal putting surface.
Yeah, it's like a tabletop, like a pool table.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. They have them at the Turtle Bay, too, and I'm really glad that Ko'olina put them in here. Makes it just awesome. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to sound strange. But there are two people at the top of this leaderboard, both Ai Miyazato and Stacey Lewis. They remind me of tanks.
How's that?
They keep going. You know, I would not be surprised if Stacey Lewis just barreled her way right to the top of the leaderboard, just out of sheer will
and
determination, like a tank. I'm going to go forward and do this.
She'll make noise early. She does every single week when she's within striking distance. She'll make noise, and half the time she closes it out. Half, you know, a couple times she hasn't of late. But if she makes a few putts early, I think as Suzanne takes a look, she's not really a scoreboard watcher till late anyway. But when she takes a look at those chasing her, she's got number one player in the world now, NB Park. The best human putter in existence ever in history. She makes everything.
NB Park.
Stacey Lewis, the toughest girl out here, by far the toughest in terms of a competitor out here. Jessica Corda, who had the hot hand yesterday. And she's got a lot of people that if she doesn't get off to a good start, she's going to start looking for and worrying about a little bit. But I, I think five shots back, realistically, is too far for even Stacy. The one I would be worried about the most if I were Suzanne right now, even though she's three shots back, is Aimee Azzotto, because she can absolutely fill it up, and she's hitting the ball longer than she ever has. It's kind of uncanny how much further she's hitting it now.
Yeah, what did she do to make that change?
I don't know. I think it's a matter of matching up the proper, as they say, get on the track man and get the proper flex with the proper launch angle and low spin angle and all that with the driver loft and everything, which everybody has the option to do if you go to your golf shop, but out here it's a little easier.
Wow, okay. But how about Hee Kwon Soh? She's really doing well.
Yeah, and she's not afraid to win. She won very young, before she was even a member. And, she's not afraid to win. Who knows? It's going to be fun. I'm glad I'm with that group. It's going to be very entertaining.
You're going to be with that group today?
Yeah. Pedersen, Soh, and Miyazato.
Before we take a break and bring, you want to stay?
Love to.
Okay, great. What did you do last night after the, you were working all day long. Did you have a fun last night?
We had our Golf Channel Olympics. We had a relay race down at the lagoon where one idiot would paddle and another would row, and all us idiots were cheering them on, and it was absolutely hilarious. No injuries. One guy almost drowned. Hubbard almost drowned, but no real injuries. Yeah, it was great.
You have a Golf Channel Olympics?
Well, it was the first annual.
All right, I'm going to take the week off next year, and I want to watch that.
It was a great spectator sport, especially they were trying to paddleboard, and the rules were there were no rules, so they gave up and paddled like a dog. It was a dog paddleboard.
We're talking with Jerry Foltz, Golf Channel on-course reporter, and we're going to be joined by Greg Nichols. He is the, I was doing abbreviations. He's the general manager and the director of golf, and I was trying to tweet that GM and dog. It just, it looked really strange. We'll be right back. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded, property guard and patrol services, loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
To demonstrate the nimble driving characteristics of this new Acura RDX, we're recording this radio commercial from inside the cabin while being driven by a professional stunt driver. All right, let me open the window here. Listen to the power of the RDX's new V6 engine with 273 horsepower. Now you're experiencing the agility of this deceivingly big crossover. Let's not forget the RDX is also equipped with standard moonroof, Bluetooth phone connectivity, and a 360-watt 7-speaker premium audio system. And it has standard leather seats. Unfortunately, hang on. I really can't get any sound out of these seats. See your Acura dealer for exceptional offers and test drive the new RDX today.
See your Hawaii Acura dealer in Honolulu and Kahului, Maui for the season's best offers on the 2013 Acura RDX. Choosing an Acura just makes sense.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Oh, we have so little time and so much to talk about. But before we start our conversation with Greg Nichols, the GM and director of golf at Ko'olina, and continue with Jerry Foltz, Golf Channel On Course commentator, who is really one of the best in the business, over the next couple of weeks, we're taking our final qualifiers. Now, the Jet Sound is a Hawaiian Airlines jet taking off, bound for one of its many destinations, whether it could, you know, New York, New Zealand, it could be going to the West Coast, Las Vegas. You're supposed to call 808-296-5467, because once we get our qualifiers, we're going to then reach into the bag, and it's like a 32-to-1 chance. That's not bad. Only 32 qualifiers, and you could win a trip for two to San Francisco, where you will stay for 4 nights in the Palace Hotel San Francisco. It is a, I don't know, luxury collection hotel, one of the top hotels in San Francisco. It's the Palace. You'll stay there with your friend for 4 nights. It's all part of the anniversary. We do this every year. We put together an anniversary celebration because the show's been on the air for 15 years. I'm not really that old. Okay, so you need to call 808-296-5467. We're going to take a qualifier right now. Greg Nichols, welcome to the show. Jerry Foltz, it's great having you here. It's great to see you. Do you know that he cleans up really well when he's wearing a tie and a suit? My, oh, my.
Well, yeah, he looks pretty good right now.
No, he does. He does. He looks very comfortable. He's wearing his ABC store T-shirt.
I would have brought the suit and tie with me, but I had to return them by 5 the next day.
Okay. Greg Nichols, you know, everybody is talking about your golf course and saying it's never been in this great shape before, and they've been playing here for a long time. What have you done?
Well, credit to our grounds crew, Alan Nakamura, and, you know, the 24 guys that work for him, because it's a year-round effort, and a lot of it's green. That's what everyone looks at first and foremost. You were talking about it on the break. But right after, you know, 3 years ago, after the fields open finished, we made a decision to change our greens from what it was, Bermuda 328 grass, over to Paspalum. And it took about 2.5 years to get there. The greens right now are perfect year-round. And so that's where, you know, the players, when you make putts, you have a great day of golf for anybody.
Absolutely. And I'm watching these greens, the undulation on these greens are kind of scary, like 9.
Yeah, all of our greens, you know, Ted Robinson, the designer, was known for creating multi-tiered greens. All of them, with the exception of really 6 and 7, are the only greens that don't have 2 tiers. So they're all, you know, it's challenging.
It's
fun. The key today, you know, these girls can all putt. You know, talk about it during the break, but the key will be where the LPGA sets up the golf course. They can set it up to make it easy or difficult. I was looking at Suzanne's comments yesterday.
Yes.
She wants to have fun.
She wants to have fun.
Let them go low. And, you know, I think it's great. I think the lower that it go, the better. You know, I'd like to see him shoot, you know, 63, 64. We were talking, you know, who can come out of the pack to do that? Well, one of the girls can't shoot that low. It's really up to Suzanne. I think she, you know, it depends on what she does on the front side, Jerry. And I really think the first 4 holes will tell.
I think what sparked Suzanne's comments were you have back-to-back par fives on the back, and they're both 3-shot par fives. And that's just, you know, that's a little, I think, boring to the players that they have that. They're set up, they're supposed to be set up. If the trades don't blow, they can get there in 2, which they did the first round.
Right.
But back-to-back 3-shot par fives, it's just, you know, the rest of the back nine has a ton of character, but then you go to 2 straightaway par fives into the wind, and you just basically, yeah, trying to hit 2 shots in the fairway and wedge it close. But I think that sparked her comments more than anything, because I was following her group, and that's when she seemed to be talking about it. But, yeah, they can go low. I was looking at the hole location sheet, though, and drawing from memory on some of the greens. Coming in the last 5 or 6 holes, there's not an easy one. So somebody's going to have to get it done early and then maybe make an unexpected birdie late. But I love the golf course. I'm a big fan of Ted Robinson. I lived at a Ted Robinson golf course in Chandler, Arizona for 10 years while I was trying to play professionally, called Ocotillo.
Yep.
And the similarities are kind of eerie, but he does a great job building a course that can host a championship of world-class players like this, or you can enjoy as a resort player.
I like Chandler, Arizona. That's a nice area.
Yeah.
I played the Whirlwind. I stayed there for a little while. It's really, really nice. Now, the rough in Lanikai keeps growing. It's 6 inches now because it's been raining over there.
It's deep out here, too. You know, we had that big rain about 2 weeks ago, and it was just in time. Alan had just put out a lot of fertilizer on the golf course, Mother Nature helps. And when you get that deep, saturating rain, the rough popped. And we actually were out there trying to mow it faster than it could grow. Because, as Jerry said, you know, we've got resort play, you know, 300, the other 51 weeks out of the year. And we want people to enjoy themselves. And I give credit to the players because, you know, if you don't hit fairways, the rough is about, can be about a half shot penalty.
Yeah.
Especially with the wind. Today, it's going to be a little bit, you know, there's not much wind, and so I think it's going to be more playable.
It's southwest to 15. That's the forecast, which means, of course, you're not going to see the blue skies. It's going to get hot, and it's going to get muggy, and you're going to see it on Golf Channel, and it's going to be great. And one thing that we talk so much about, and we have to bring her up, because it's Michelle Wee. And when I watched her come off on 9 on the second day of on Thursday, she didn't think she'd made the cut.
Yep.
In fact, we had talked right before then. You said,
yep,
you better get over 9 because she's got a birdie this hole. Well, she bogeyed it.
Yep.
And she didn't even want to talk to anybody. She just, like, left. And nobody thought she was going to make the cut. Then the wind picked up, and boom, she's in the mix. And yesterday, she played well. Now, you and I were at the Emerald Course when she did the clinic for junior golf,
yep,
and the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. She played so beautifully and so comfortably when she was in front of us and talking to us. Tell me what you think about what happens to her when she goes into competition.
Well, I think we saw a night and day difference between her second round and her round yesterday, Danielle.
Yes, we did.
Michelle is an artist. She's a very creative person, and if you see her off the golf course, she's one of the happiest, most positive people you can imagine. And I think, you know, she falls into a situation like many golfers do when you get on the golf course. If you start beating yourself up, if your expectations are too high, it's very difficult to live up to them. And so if she hit up a couple bad shots, all of a sudden, she was berating herself. She had a terrible bad round, but that happens in golf. And so the key is, how do you handle that round? And the mark of a champion is, what do you come back with the next day? And yesterday was night and day difference. She came out, and she was enthusiastic. She didn't let the bad shots bother her. And, you know, she shot 69, and, you know, golf's a game of ifs, ands, and buts.
Yeah.
But literally on the front side, which was the back side she started on, she played 10 through 18 first. She shot 3 under, and it could have been 8 under. She left literally half a dozen birdie putts in the jaws just short. So she was putting really well. On the front side, she ended up throwing away a couple shots. She knocked it on the par 5 and 2 on 4, 3-putted that, and then 3-putted number 8, literally from just off the back. She hit a beautiful shot right over. So that 69 easily could have been 64. But, again, I think she's going to play her best golf when she's in a positive frame of mind. And, you know, that was echoed by two great Hall of Fame players I chatted with yesterday, Meg Mallon and Beth Daniel, who both love Michelle and, you know, on and off the golf course. They admire her as a player. And they said the same thing. You know, you've got to be able to be your own best friend out on the golf course. And you can't, you know, you can't beat yourself up. So hopefully she takes that lesson and goes on, because she's got all the talent in the world. Anybody that watched her play yesterday would say, why is she not winning week in and week out? But that's, you know, she's 23, she's young, and she's still continued to learn. And so I'm
what do you think about this putting stroke? Okay, I got to ask about the putting stroke.
Yeah,
a chiropractor's dream.
Well, you could put some drinks on her back. You know,
the whole tour is, and they're not making fun of her.
Right.
Oh, they are too. Yeah, they're poking fun at her, and she likes it. She enjoys it.
She enjoys it.
Yeah.
She knows how to play it.
Yeah, they're not being mean.
Exactly.
Right.
It's table. They're calling it the tabletop, and it's like, what was that called again? Duffnering. Only they're calling her that. You know, she's got this tabletop stance, and they're taking pictures of people in that same.
Well, here's what I would say. I'd say it doesn't matter what you look like, as long as that ball is going in the hole.
Right.
You know, and that's. But we saw it first. She broke it out. You mentioned at the Tournament of Champions, which she sponsored for Hawaii State Junior Golf over in Maui. That's the first time we saw it. And seeing it live and watching the ball come off the putter face was beautiful. Because last year when she was here, she was really struggling with her putting. She went to see three Stan Utley, Dave Stockton, and she was all over the place with what she was trying to do with her putter. So seeing in this new style, it was excellent.
But I didn't remember it being so severe at Emerald Course.
It was tabletop putting. Where I would, if I was her coach, what I would be telling her is that do that on all your makeable putts from 10 feet in. However, golf's a game of feel and speed, too. In fact, in putting, it's probably even on the short putts, it's a matter of feel and speed. And yet, line's more important. But on her distance putts, I think she needs to get up. The three putts that I saw yesterday, where she killed the ball, beautiful line, but she killed the ball through the break, and she just hit it 4 feet past. Now, when you have, here's a stat for you. Aimee Azzotto, I understand, has not three putted this season.
She three putted 16 yesterday.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, that
she
was
did.
That's as rare as an out of state plate in Hawaii. That really is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That, it was
so.
It made big headlines on Golf Channel.
Let's look how many three putts Michelle's had, and look at the three putts
each round. Yeah. What I like about it, Greg, I don't mean to interrupt, but what I like about it is she has tried everything. She has lost her authentic stroke that she had when she was 14, 15 years old. She doesn't know what that is anymore. So her swing's still quite similar, and she still hits the ball wonderfully most of the time. Right now, she's doing something very unconventional, and she's done a few other things unconventional, but she is, by doing this tabletopping thing, she is completely eliminating all that luggage and all that scar tissue that's built up in her psyche about her putting. And in, I don't know, 6 months, a year or something, she can go out on the green, walk out at home someday, grab a putter, and just putt again and have a clear mind. And then I think she's going to be fantastic.
See, but Jerry knows as a player that's been out there, he knows the demons.
I have so many voices in my head, most of them saying you can see forever in here. But, yeah, I had tons of voices in my head, and it's awful. The scar tissue that builds up through failure over the years is really tough to overcome. And
Judy Rankin brings that
measure.
Up. Yeah. She talks about the scar tissue, and you're talking
I call it mental luggage. Same thing, though, yeah.
So as a player, you can see that she could do something really radical and then just go work through it, and won't this add to scar tissue?
No. I think she's eliminating. At some point, she's going to pick up the putter again for the first time. It'll feel like the first time ever, and she'll be able to get back to putting like a kid, which all great putters do. They putt like children.
Yeah.
And I think she'll be able to get back to that. Her best golf is ahead of her, no question about it.
Yep.
It's just a matter of getting through the mental luggage, getting through all the failure she's had as a pro in the last couple of years, and expecting to play great again the way Stacey Lewis expects to play great every time she tees it up.
Now, Stacey Lewis is upset that she's not number one. She wonders how she lost it without even playing. That's just the way the system works. But she seems to be having some struggles with her putting this week.
She's not making as many as she normally does, but she's still putting better than the field average by a long shot. She's a great putter. She likes to make everything. Who doesn't? And oftentimes, she does make everything.
Okay, so Suzanne Peterson, who hasn't been putting well or often loses it, at 25, 25, 29 each round. So we're going to have to see somebody be that good today to win this, because Suzanne Peterson is just one stroke ahead of Lee Kyung So and Aimee Azzotto, were three strokes back of Peterson. I mean, these women are very close. And if somebody has an off day, somebody has an on day, all of a sudden we've got a really great game going on here, don't we?
We want to see an exciting finish, and I think it will be. I'd encourage everybody to come out early. It's kids are free, military's free. We got free parking. Come out and watch the tournament, and then go back and watch it live on the Golf Channel.
Yes.
And watch Jerry sit in your room, get a nice glass of lemonade, put your feet up. Or, and then watch it live.
Well, you missed my favorite part. I love the golf course. I love Ted Robinson Designs. I've never seen a course in Hawaii in any better shape than this. It's a gorgeous setting. But what I like, you got one of the greatest food trucks in the world sitting in your parking lot. It is phenomenal. The tacos on that thing are just crazy.
The tacos?
Yes.
Jerry Foltz, Golf Channel on-course commentator, is recommending the tacos. Food truck, it's right at the entrance. You park your car. You come over, you're going to have a great time.
Well, I got to say something about our snack bar there, too, because yesterday when the players are making the turn off the back side, they come right by our snack bar. They're grabbing hot dogs and tuna wraps. And it's all about the food. Golf is an excuse for the 19th hole.
In Hawaii, in particular, it's all about the food. Nah, it's all about the food everywhere. Do I have to wrap it up? Ah, I see. I'm sorry. Guys, we could talk forever. Thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time. And I want to thank the people who make the show possible. It's brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. And now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. The Acura RLX and RLX Advance. It's here. I've been in it. I love it. This car, you'll like it too. Waipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning.
Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. Doesn't matter, don't be intimidated. You're going to have a great time at Kwepu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection. First you get your property threat and risk assessed. Then you get the protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, for your special event. Tournament of Champions, for instance, uses Star Protection. Get the Star Team on your property. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.